Here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Trade Talk, I am with the National Corn Growers Association here, and Pam Johnson, president. First time I've gotten to interview you as president, Pam. We're so proud. Now, you've been president for what, a month or so now?
October 1 became president, yes. It's gone fast already.
Yeah. So what do you think, as president and the first woman president of NCGA, I might add, what are your goals? What are your goals going forward for the year that you're going to be president?
Well, my goals are, number one, to bring all that I am and all that I've learned to this position and be the best president that I can be for NCGA. And that means that I will continue to advocate for the policies that we've worked very hard to develop and advocate for our priorities as we move forward into this new year.
Things that you did when you first got on the board and moving into this position was respond as a farm wife to someone who's make kind of disparaging about farm wives, and I think that's important for that conversation. Tell me about that experience and how you want to continue that to be, you know, to show that farm wives are not just sitting back home on the farm letting the guys do all the work.
No, and that was very frustrating for me because I'm a sixth-generation farmer. I come from a long line of strong men and women, and I have seen how the women work along with the men. And the women, you know, are the glue that kind of holds things together back home. That being said, you know, I think the comment was that we were just token women out in leadership positions, and I took offense at that because just like anybody else, any other person, male or female, I had to work very hard, learn a lot of things, work together and compromise, and come up the chain. And you know, for me, I have to look backwards, and I'm still amazed because it was like one door opened and then another door opened, and I said yes. And so I think it's very important, number one, to recognize the value of the woman back home, the person who's out on the farm, and also to recognize that there is potential and possibility for farm women now to get more involved in leadership positions than ever have been. I have two young daughter-in-laws at home, and both grew up on a farm, both went away to college, got educated. I have the fortune of knowing those two young, strong women, and try to help them all I can, and they're certainly helpful to me to keep, as my sons are, to keep relevant, not only in the farm business, but out in the world. And so I've got a lot of respect for women in agriculture, young and old, and I think it came all home last fall when we did the Executive Women in Agriculture Conference in Chicago. And for me, that was one of the most energizing meetings I've been at, and I go to a lot of meetings. To see those women who want to get involved in not only their farm business at home, but want to get involved in leadership positions. And there was so much talent and skill and energy around that room. I just looked and felt very confident that the future is very bright, not only for women farmers, but for farming in general.
Oh, beautiful. Now, of course, we had a rough year here in this with the drought. So I wanted to ask you how your crop turned out this year.
Amazingly, it turned out so much better than we anticipated as we watched it grow throughout the year. And where I live, we got an inch and a half of rain in June, 7/10 in July, and then in August got 3 inches. But it was really too late for the corn. And yet, as I look across the country, we still produce 10.7 billion bushels of corn with no rain. I think that's phenomenal. A testament to agriculture, whether it be seed genetics, but also a testament to farmers, their perseverance and their resilience, their agronomic practices, their willingness to change. I mean, you look back at a generation of farmers and look what we have had to change and learn and do differently, I think is remarkable. It's why I love agriculture.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because we are starting a new series on our Precision Agriculture website about the importance of precision technology, biotechnology, information technology and how that has helped and continues to help farmers, both from a, you know, a bottom line standpoint, but also environmentally. It's helping the environment and it's helping feed the world. So you said you're sixth generation?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Okay. So growing up on the farm, how much have you seen change? What do you think is the most, some of the most significant changes that you've seen in the generations of your family on the farm?
Where do I start? You know, there's so many things, but I think it basically boils down to science and technology and the ability of a grower to farm. I've been farming 40 years, but I look back at my parents and look at the how they went, how my dad and mom went from an age where you were out in the field with two horses, and most of the grain you raised was to feed those horses. You know, we talk about food and fuel now, but that actually so much of the USA's grain went to fuel the power that did farming. And I grew up in the 50s, and both of my parents out the door every morning working so very hard to make things better for themselves and for us on a very small scale. And kind of a sideline, but I think back then taught us the value of a good education, and that spilled over into farming because we have to stay educated. And so as I look back at my childhood farming, we raised three times as much now in 1 acre ground, and that's going to just continue to grow. And I'm out in the field every spring and fall when I can be, which I love to do. But, you know, that equipment that we can use that is so precise, and we can place seed precisely, and we can place the nutrients precisely. And in a year like this year when we have a drought, we're conserving that moisture because of plants that stay healthy. And I don't know. It's just, where do I start and where do I stop? It's a phenomena, and it will continue. And I'll tell you, that's why I think it's so great to be in business with the younger generation, because they help us stay relevant and learn all these new tools and technology that we have to use if we're going to be competitive and stay in business.
Well, you know what else I think is amazing, and compare this to when you were growing up, the amount of time that it takes you to plant and harvest now compared to what it used to be.
Oh, yeah. And the conditions under which we do that, the time, phenomenal. It used to take days and days to do something with very, very hard work and dangerous work, as we know. And so now we're running safe, efficient machines. And, you know, I can have my grandkids come out and ride with me and buckle them up in their car seat and a buddy seat in the tractor with me as we go about our work. And, it is amazing. There is such a short window now to get all that work done in the spring and a little bit longer in the fall, but timeliness is everything, and so you have to be able to take advantage of that technology.
All right, very good. Last thing I want to hit on is the Commodity Classic. Coming up, and it comes up so fast. Once the end of you get through the holidays, and the next thing you know, it's Commodity Classic time. But we're going to be in Florida, so tell us a little bit about what we got planned for Commodity Classic.
Yeah, I'm always so excited at Commodity Classic because it's not only a time when corn growers go to network, but it's a time when I and others can interact with farmers across the United States and sit down at lunch or at a table and just learn more about them and how they farm and what they do and what's important to all of us, what our common ground is. And then also I think, you know, the big thing for us is that policy development. We have our Corn Congress meetings there, which is always good, and then the trade show. And we get to see what is cutting edge for coming up. And then just having the opportunity to be together and learn new things, talk to the farm broadcasters again, get our stories out. We've got a great story to tell, and we need to do more of that, and I think that's a place that really lets that happen.
All right, so the dates are February 28th through March 2nd. We're in Kissimmee at the Gaylord there, right?
That's right, and I would invite anyone who has never taken the opportunity to go to write it on your calendar and get down there, because once you go to one, you're hooked. And it's like kind of like going home week, and every year you meet more people and get to learn a lot and have fun and do some hard work besides.
All right, well, we'll be there in the Sunshine State in the middle of winter. Can't wait. All right, here at the NEFB Trade Talk with Pam Johnson, president of NCGA, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.